You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Okay, but no other announcements. We'll go to the scripture reading. It's in 1 Timothy today, chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them, because they are brethren, but rather do them service, because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. And Father God, we just ask for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, for his sake. Amen.
Okay, well, it's nice to feel some cool temperatures and see the seasons moving on. We really enjoyed a trip yesterday from Newella up to Stillwater on the back way, going through Purcell and through there. Beautiful countryside, just absolutely gorgeous. And the conversation came to America. America's like that, isn't it? People from outside think of America often in terms of the big cities, you know. And they're not so great, some of them. I mean, Los Angeles, not so great now, with a whole lot of stuff going on in the streets there. But certainly, you know, New York, they look upon America in terms, often in terms of cities. But America is basically empty, which is really great. I mean, it's great to see all that land, because with all that land comes the potential of land ownership, from which comes so many of the enjoyments that we have, really. And we just love to see that, all this farmland. Where does it end? It's just like it's endless out there. You look out there, I don't see any town out that way, and no town out that way, no town out that way. It's just open. It's beautiful. We love to see that. So we enjoyed that trip up there and back again, about an hour 20 each way, and it was great. It was enjoyable. Now let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank Thee for all that Thou hast given us in this life. And we thank Thee and praise Thee for the finished work of Christ. As He said on the cross at Calvary, it is finished, tetelestai. We thank Thee for its completeness and the fact that we can look back on that in history and also acknowledge that our sins have been paid for. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Well, up here we've got our continuing story of this matter of the story of Hebrews. And it's tremendous. Some of these things we went through last time, looking at the two sides of the coin here in Hebrews. Because I think there really is distinctly two sides of a coin being represented. One big discussion on the better things that are available to the believer during the book of Acts, because that's where it's centered and that's where the hope is put forward. And then there's also the matter of the responsibility, and how that with the responsibility there can come judgment. And so we looked at this whole idea of the substance here, which the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen, that's how it's translated. And the idea here of the evidence, it comes to this idea of a rebuke and of these things which are unseen. And a lot of what we see in Christ's work, where he ran the race, he required no rebuke because of who he is, his impeccable nature. But he could look to that cross and for the joy that was set before him endure all these things. That is, he could see past the cross to those invisible things. And he could enjoy and rejoice in those things. Whereas we, many times, would just see the immediate suffering and we need that rebuke of the invisible things. And that's quite an interesting thing to notice about this. And then when we come to Hebrews chapter 12, you get this interesting word, toi garun, this particle. Toi garun, made up of these three parts. The toi is an emphasis. And gar, for, and then un, therefore. And it's translated with wherefore. So these words that you find in the King James, you can see the logic of the choice of them if you go back to the underlying Greek text from which the translation came. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And this entangling sin we investigated and looked at last time, where we're, as it says, looking away from, we're looking away from that great cloud of witnesses unto Jesus, who is this great example. And we see the entangling sin to be something that comes to us because we're not under self-control. And self-control has many facets. But if you look at to the second verse, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So we look away from everything else to Jesus. That includes this great, so great a cloud of witnesses. They were great in many respects. But we look away from them unto Jesus, the ultimate example, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Who for the joy that was set before, for the joy, this is what I was talking about before, that was set before him, endured the cross. The joy. He could see past all of these temporal, awful things that were going on to him and could see the greatness of what was going to come. And we too have this opportunity to see these great things that are going to come to us. And it's hard. I mean, it's hard, isn't it? It's hard at times to see that when you're going through your pain, whatever that is, right? We all have some individual common things that we have which are painful, but then there's also personal things of pain which you will not necessarily want to share with someone else. It's something that's private to you, and it's something that you're going to keep between you and God, and it's something that you'll carry through it, through this life. And sometimes it's going to have to be some sort of reproof to bring you to that personal realization. Yeah, but we can see past this. We can see the joy that's coming. So I find this passage just remarkable. Despising the shame. Despising it. What a remarkable thing. And is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Beautiful example of Christ. And so you see this wonderful structure that's in here with this business of this endurance. Endurance, endurance, endurance in the sight of all these things. In the sight of all this pain and suffering, there is this endurance through all these things. We talked about the entangling sin, and a good example is this one, 1 Corinthians 9:24. And every man that striveth for mastery is temperate in all things, showing self-control. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. You notice it's in the same context as this race. All right, so today, I'm going to start with this. What have we come to? What have we come to? Now that expression is a really interesting expression. Because in some contexts, that has a really negative context. The country. What have we come to? You know, what have we come to? you look at the political manifestations of this. What have we come to? Come to the border of the United States, southern border. What have we come to? All sorts of things. We can think of this expression and many negative examples of this. But I want you to see this in a different light. Now, there's a Greek word, it's called prosyrkomai. And it's made up of these two parts. One is pros, which is stuck on the prefix, as a prefix to the verb. Erkomai is a verb, and it can mean to come or to go. Pros means toward. And here's just some of the prepositions that are found in the New Testament. And if you look at pros, which is here, you can see it's diagrammed as an arrow going towards. Not going into, like as an ace, going into, but going towards. Going towards. Pros erkomai. And here's a little definition with some of the usages of this. Of coming to a deity. Agree with, accede to. There's a range of meanings of this word, and I want to just look at it and see if we can really come to a better appreciation of this word, because it comes up big time in the book of Hebrews. And I think there's something we can learn here that you may sort of not think about. So we read a bit from this, but I want you to go back to this passage which we read before at the beginning of our service here in 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 6, a lot of neat words come up here. And we'll read from verse 1. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor. So this was a case where you had servants and slaves and things going on. And people who were servants or slaves, they would find themselves in an unusual position where they now knew Christ, right? They had an ultimate master, Jesus Christ. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. Isn't that interesting? Boy, that's a pretty bad situation to find yourself in, that you are, you know, you're under servitude. And yet the commandment here is, don't show your master's disrespect. There was a great movie. Now, it just came to me now. I just remembered this movie. And it starred a guy, Kiefer, right? Kiefer Sutherland, right? And it was where he was put in prison in some Japanese camp. And they were treated just horribly. You know that, don't you? The Japanese. There's a lot of atrocities that have not been brought forward, and a lot of Japanese people have not been made to front up to what was done during the Second World War by the Japanese people. And they're just terrible. In fact, just on the subject, when I was going through high school, I was friends with a guy whose own dad was put into one of these camps. And he managed to somehow sneak into the camp a camera. And he took pictures. They're awful pictures. But nonetheless, pictures of what happened in the camp. And he, this guy that I knew, he brought some of these pictures along to, this was when I was in high school, and he brought them along to school. And, oh man, the things that he showed in these pictures, of the cruelty of stuff went on. But anyway, getting back to this movie, in this movie, a guy who was a pastor decided, look, we are being treated horribly here. And he invoked this. He invoked this. And you should see, I mean, I know this is based on some truth. I know it's exaggerated in the movie, but it's based upon some truth. And the effect on these Japanese soldiers and harsh taskmasters was amazing. You know, the these prisoners go the full mile and more in a day's work, to the point where they would just about collapse doing the task, and they'd put their best into this thing. And the effect on the Japanese soldiers was absolutely amazing. In fact, and some of them had a big turnaround in their life, in their witness. Verse 2, it says, "And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them, because they are brethren. But rather do them service, because they are faithful and beloved partakers of the benefit." What a beautiful statement. Partakers of the benefit. "These things teach." Now this is in our age. This is written during a time when doctrine is being presented and taught after the revelation of the mystery. "If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself." Boy, don't you ever see this happening today in many Christian circles, where they do proclaim that gain is godliness? Gain is godliness. They proclaim this. And they buy themselves these big jets, and they have personal jets, and they fly themselves around the world to various places and enjoy the good life. "From such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain." What's the gain? Godliness with contentment. "For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain." You want some certainty? Here it comes. "We can carry nothing out." Here's some certainty. pretty clear preaching. Pretty cool preaching. But preaching we don't hear enough of these days. Except we're getting preaching that goes against this kind of preaching. But I want you to see something in here. It's this verb. Proserkotai. It comes from proserkomai. It's in the third person, singular. "If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words." Consent. Come towards. You've made an arrival. You're coming towards something, right? Come towards this wholesome words. Wholesome. Healthy words. So when you come to something, you come to an embracing of some truth. Now you may physically come towards something, you may do that, but you're also embracing some true teaching, true doctrine. And it's a very important thing to see this. And this practical embracing is an important feature, because it's a consent. You've got to consent to it. You come to it. What have you come to, Northside Bible? What have you come to over these many years? I nearly said ages. These many years. What have you come to? We've come to a certain realization about truth. And it's been a major thing. Now look at this one. Let's go across to 1 Peter, right? I'm just looking at some of these really neat words, and you can see that proserkomenoi, which is the participle form of this. Just go across to 1 Peter and chapter 2. We'll read from the beginning there, 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 1, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile, and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming, to whom coming, as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Now, what's the importance of this verse? Well, it's not just that it's using this proserchemai, but in the context, you can see the same idea of the coming to a position doctrinal. Because look, you can see in the context, it talks about this spiritual house, spiritual sacrifices, all of these things. So that a change in their life has come about because of their coming to this position and this understanding. So I want you to see how this proserchemai is used. This consent and this coming to this position. It's about doctrine and it has effects on how you live. Now let's go across to Hebrews now. Let's just have a look at this. This is really a cool thing, I think. It makes you really think about what's going on in the change that happened to these people who came to this realization that Paul is talking about. So have a look at Hebrews chapter number 4 and verse 16. It says this: let us therefore come boldly. Now you notice it says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. So notice it says, let us come therefore. Let us therefore come boldly. Let us therefore come. There is the proserchemai. They're coming boldly unto this throne of grace. Does that mean that they're coming to this king on this earth, and they're coming to this literal throne that's before them, a physical throne that's before them? No. This has to do, first of all, with this understanding. In fact, a change in doctrine. Just look at the context. Just go back just a couple of verses. It says this in verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, holding fast. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly. See? So, now with this great priesthood of the Lord Jesus Christ given, now they come to the throne of grace, and first of all, it's a change in their understanding and their understanding of teaching, doctrine. They've come to a change in teaching, and they've accepted that change in teaching. And once they have, then they can petition God on the basis of this new teaching. A new position has come about. Okay, well, that's cool. We understand that. Let's see how it continues. Right? Now we'll go to chapter 7. And round about verse 25. We'll read from verse 22. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. Verse 23. And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. Okay, that's the old doctrine, right? There's old doctrine and there's new teaching. Doctrine is just teaching. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Unchangeable. The other one's always changing because of death. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Oh, okay. See, in verse 7:25, wherefore he is able also to save them that to the uttermost that come unto God. There it is. That says prosekomai. That come unto God by him. They now have received a new teaching, and they enact that new teaching. And from that new teaching and their belief in that comes all kinds of great blessings to them. Okay, cool. Look at chapter 10, verse 1. 10, verse 1. For the law having a shadow of good things to come. For the law having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. Now listen to this. Here you've got people that are coming physically, certainly, to the place where the sacrifice would be made. They would take these animals, leading these animals to the priests, and the priests would go about their business and sacrifice them. There would be a physical, real coming, right? But there is also an ascension, a statement of belief that this was right and proper. They had ascended to, they had come to. What were they coming to? They were coming to the law of Moses, which they assented to and they agreed to. But look, it says this in verse 2, for then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year, for it's not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wait a minute. Here we have an ascension to a doctrine which was taught, and it was right, and it was proper. But that doctrine did not take them to that place of perfection. Here comes a new teaching, a new doctrine, which they now have to come to. They came and passed to this teaching which was of God. It came from God. It was the law of Moses. They came to this, both in their minds and in their bodies. They came to it. But now there's something better. Better. How can that be? Wasn't there doctrine in the Old Testament if it came from God? It came from God. Shouldn't that be perfect? Well, here we've got something that was given by God, which was to be used to prod them to realize, well, wait a minute, there is something better. And they would be prodded, and they would be shown this, and when Christ came, they were to accept this new doctrine. So is there a new doctrine for us? Is there a new teaching for us? Something better? It's very interesting to see this. Go across to verse 22. Let us draw, this is chapter 10. I've got the verses up here. 10:22. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Look at this. See, now you can see the doctrine. Let us draw near. Let us come. Prosekomai. Let's come near. What have you come to? Well, if you've come to this new doctrine, there is great blessings. Coming to that which God has ordained and given, which is better, brings forth great blessings. And you can see it right here. Look what it says in verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Without wavering. Oh, that's really cool. Go across now to chapter 11, verse 6. Look at this, verse 6. This is chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh is prosyokomai. For he that cometh to God, what have you come to? It's not just, see, when he says comes to God, what does it mean? Does it mean that you physically come to God? No. It doesn't mean that, does it? We all know that. What have they come to? They have come to God in the sense that they have a new and living way to come to God. Okay. Must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. To them that diligently seek him. You are supposed to come to God with doctrine and teaching that's going to be appraised by God as something better, and from that basis you will diligently seek him, and from that gain great reward. And in this is a tremendous witness of the prophets of old. Have a look over here at chapter 12, verse 18. 12 and verse 18. For ye are not come, look at this, prosekame, for ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest. You're not come to that one. And the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more, for they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. So terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But now look what it says. So here is what you're not coming to. You did that in the past, and if you even got involved with these holy things, you'd be cut down. Even an animal would be touched, that touched the mountain, kill it, stone it to death. But ye are come unto Mount Sion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. So does that mean that they are literally coming to the new Jerusalem, and there they're beholding the angels? No, it doesn't mean that. It means that they have taken on this doctrine, the teaching, right? When they come to this, they're taking on board this teaching about this thing, which is real. It's not, well, I'm not saying it's not real. It's real, and they will enjoy this as a part of their great hope. But when it says, right here, but ye are come unto Mount Sion, it meaning that they have assented to this. They said, yes, we believe. Yes, we embrace this. This is the teaching that the writer is giving. You know something? We have come to something. We have come to something. We have come to a revelation, a new teaching that was given to Paul the prisoner. And our eyes have been enlightened that we can see this new hope. And with this new hope has come great blessings to us. Great freedoms come to us. I think it's a wonderful thing to see that this word, prosyokomai, it means here that you have assented. What have you come to? You have come to this understanding, you Hebrews. And in coming to this understanding, great blessings to them. We ask the questions, what have we come to? We have come to the revelation of the mystery given to Paul the prisoner, and with that great freedoms and blessings, and we will not be put into a place of servitude, but we will be put into a place of freedom to work for our God rightfully in this age with understanding. And that's what we're about. Well, there's more to say about this. But I think you can see that this word is a tremendous word when it's put into its context. That the Jews, yeah, they certainly came to a teaching. It was from God, but there was something greater, right? Something better. And if they would accept this new doctrine, great blessings. So, what about us in this age? Yeah, there's something better, my friends. Something really better for all of us to know about, given to Paul the prisoner. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank Thee for this teaching, Lord, that we have come to a wonderful understanding given to Paul the prisoner and then passed on to us. We ask, Lord, that You'd use us in making others know about this truth. And in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.